Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. One out of four Baltimore residents lives in a food desert, a low-income area that lacks access to fresh food from supermarkets. At the same time, the Maryland Food Center Authority estimates that half of what's in the Baltimore landfills is food waste, and it's estimated that includes millions of pounds of produce that could still be eaten. Each year, the Able Foundation gives an award to students who best analyze a critical issue facing the city and propose feasible solutions. The 2015 Able Award for Urban Planning goes to a paper that proposes a new vendor market in the heart of the city, where unsold wholesale food that would otherwise be tossed into landfills could be sold by small businesses at deeply discounted prices. So this winning paper suggests a solution both to food insecurity in food deserts and to excess food waste in Baltimore. Its authors join me in the studio. Marie Spiker is a doctoral student in human nutrition in the Department of International Health in the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And her husband, Corbin Cunningham, a PhD candidate at the Johns Hopkins University Department of Psychological and Brain Sciences, focuses on attention and perception. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
What are you proposing as a solution to this double-edged problem?
Yeah, so we're proposing the creation of a vendor's market, which some people might ask, how is that different than a farmer's market or something like that? And a vendor's market is just, it probably has the same feel as a farmer's market, only the food is coming from a wholesale institution like the MFCA. And so we're proposing the creation of that with a variety of vendors who would run the stalls, and just being able to use that food that might, end up getting thrown away or wasted, being able to sell that to individuals. And that food is still good as well.
Right. And so you asked exactly what we are proposing. And the ABLE Award seeks policy papers that propose policy solutions. And so what we proposed specifically was for the city to form a partnership with the Maryland Food Center Authority to support the creation of a vendor's market, for them to make sure that policies are in place to streamline the permitting process for vendors to become part of the vendor's market. And then third, for the city to help the vendor's market navigate the policies surrounding composting. Because one of our goals was that, so if you have a vendor's market and the food that doesn't get sold gets sent to the landfill anyways, then we're back where we started. So one of our goals is that if the food that gets unsold from the vendor's market could also be composted, this could be really efficient. However, composting in urban areas, while it's a great idea, is notoriously difficult, and the city could play a role in helping the vendor's market to navigate that regulatory process.
So composting is part of your answer.
Yeah, and so that food, basically, any of the food that would normally just end up in the landfill, either a portion of it is going to get sold and hopefully eaten and consumed and things like that, and then anything else that would be left over, we could send to compost. And so essentially, we're kind of blocking anything that would go to the landfill that could be used, and it's either going to be used directly or it can be used as kind of this alternative like compost or something like that in local gardens or even in maybe bigger farms surrounding the area.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with two doctoral students at Johns Hopkins. Corbin Cunningham is in the Department of Psychological and Brain Sciences, and Marie Spiker is in the Department of International Health at the Bloomberg School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins. We're talking about a paper they wrote proposing a way to put food that would otherwise be wasted into the kitchens of people who need it. What do you think it would cost to set up a vendor's market in Baltimore?
That's a great question. So there would be the issue of space. So where would it be hosted? There are existing spaces where there may not be any additional costs that would be incurred. The vendors would be operating independently. They would probably be part of a vendors association, mm-hmm. so there may be some cost there. But otherwise, it is a fairly low-cost operation, other than potentially if there were a composting facility involved, that could be fairly costly. But for the operation of the vendors market itself, the cost would probably be comparable to what you might see for something like a farmer's market.
Yeah.
What are the potential drawbacks?
Sometimes people find that creating compost is difficult, where, some people don't want it in their neighborhoods or things like that, or there's, doing something like on site in a small neighborhood might be difficult. And so while that seems like a potential drawback, there is a nice benefit of having that compost. So one of the things that we talk a little bit about in the paper is, when that's created, there are some, unwanted issues with creating compost. And so people, you know, suggest like there's like a smell and things like that, as with all like organic product. But the benefit is that we're changing the course of where that potential waste would go from just sitting in a landfill to actually being used in a farm or being used in a garden or something like that, which seems like a pretty good alternative.
And one thing that I think maybe is not a drawback but a challenge, I think the biggest challenge would be for the vendors to be able to strike a balance between the quality and the price of the produce. Now, these are the mostly seconds and thirds, which means that it's produce that the wholesalers weren't able to sell to supermarkets, restaurants, and retailers that otherwise would have been sent to the landfill. So it's mostly seconds and thirds, but it's still at a quality that you would want to purchase it and you would want to consume it. And then the other piece to that is that it's incredibly inexpensive. So the prices are things like 10 limes for $1, 5 apples for $1, $4 for a box of tomatoes, $5 for a box of mangoes. So significantly cheaper than anything that you would be able to find in a supermarket. It's cheaper because you know that this wasn't all the number one graded produce, but still they've selected the produce that you would still be happy to purchase and consume it.
Big quote blown up in the report, haggling is encouraged.
Yes.
Why?
So one of the goals of the vendors there is to hopefully not send anything to compost or wherever it's going to go after trying to be sold. And so although, you know, getting, maybe undercut on a particular price for apples or something like that might not be ideal, it's better than getting no money for that particular product. And so because this is kind of a fast-paced environment where people are selling produce that needs to go today, they'll be able to say, oh, okay, well, instead of a dollar, maybe, 50 cents for this apple or something like that. And so it's better than getting, no money for that particular item.
One of your points is that the availability of cheaper fruits and vegetables has an impact on purchasing and eating habits. What's the research on that?
Right. So a lot of the research shows that if you were to change the price of fruits and vegetables, if you were to decrease the price by maybe 10%, you might see an increase in demand, an increase in purchasing by maybe 4 or 5%. It wouldn't surpass, the increase in purchasing might not go beyond 10%. So they would say that the price for fruits and vegetables, the demand isn't elastic. But the decrease in price that we might see at a place like Haymarket is more than 10%. What we might see is something upwards of 50%. So it's a fairly substantial decrease. So the literature on whether decreasing the price of fruits and vegetables will increase consumption, the literature there isn't super, super strong, but I think it's because the margins in which they're playing, something like a 10% discount that you might see in a supermarket, these don't reflect the deeper discounts that you might be able to find at something like a vendor's market.
Let me try to translate that.
Sure.
You're saying that because there's potentially deep discounts in the prices of these fruits and vegetables, you might really improve people's diets. They might actually really buy a lot more fruits and vegetables than eat them.
Absolutely.
Right. Because if you were to decrease the price of fruits and vegetables by just a few cents, that might not be noticeable enough for people to want to buy more. But if this is something that's a fraction of the price that it usually is, you might be more likely to buy it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Marie Spiker, in the Department of International Health at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and her husband Corbin Cunningham in the Department of Psychological and Brain Sciences, are winners of the 2015 ABLE Award for Urban Planning. Their paper suggests a vendor market in Baltimore. They will receive a $5,000 award. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Maryland Morning is an original production of
Your Public Radio,
WYPR in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Johnny McCone
and Connor Graham.
We have production help from
Christy Forrest
and Scott Seiss.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. On this day in Maryland history, 1863, Brigadier General William Birney continued his energetic and some say illegal efforts to enlist African Americans in the Union Army by freeing 59 men from a slave pen in Baltimore and enrolling them in the U.S. Colored Troops. We're back on Wednesday. Please join us.